We talk with playwright and actor John Cariani. His play Almost Maine was developed at the Cape Cod Theater Project back in 2002. He's back at the Cape Cod Theater Project this year with another production. John Cariani, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
So before we talk about your new work, tell us the premise of Almost Maine.
Almost Maine is a collection of interconnected love stories set in far northern Maine. So they're kind of like a collection of rural Twilight Zone-y stories. And that's what the focus of my first two plays were about, rural America, and my next couple of plays have been about suburbia. Yeah.
So describe the process of developing a work through the Cape Cod Theater Project.
Well, they give you the best talent you could ever ask for, people who are familiar with the process of familiar with what it's like to develop a new play. So every day, the first day of rehearsal, we'll read the play, and we will start to talk about it and what's wrong with it. That's what I love. And I'll go, after rehearsal, I'll get to work and start to tackle rewriting the play. And every day I'll bring in new pages, and those actors will roll with the new pages and bring them to life almost immediately so I can see how they work. And then we'll figure out what's not working again, and I'll go back to work the next night and rework again and rewrite again and come in with new pages the next day. And that happens until we start presenting it in front of audiences. And then the audiences tell us what else is wrong with the play, what other work I have to do. And then I'll get to work after the first performance and rewrite it for the next performance in front of people, and that's how it works.
I guess it's interesting from the audience perspective, too, if you kind of come to the first performance and then maybe the last to see what's changed.
Yeah, you're going to see something pretty different.
Yeah.
You'll see either a lot more or a lot less, because usually I'm either cutting or adding.
Yeah. Now, do you recall if you made major revisions to Almost Maine after staging it at the Cape Cod Theater Project?
Yeah, when we staged it at the Cape Cod Theater Project, I think it was only a collection of five plays when I arrived. And by the time I finished my time there, we had, I think it was seven plays. And it eventually became eight plays with a prologue and an epilogue.
Mm.
And I know that we developed the prologue and the epilogue while we were on the Cape, which is the key to the whole play because it ties the whole thing together. Instead of making it a collection of short plays about love in a northern rural town, it became a collection of plays that are truly connected that make it feel like one play, if that makes any sense. So even though you're following individual narratives, there's an arc to the whole piece, and that's what I was so happy to discover when I worked on it.
Almost Maine has gone on to become one of the most frequently produced plays of the past decades, and it's particularly popular in high school theater. Why do you think it has such appeal, especially in high schools?
Well, I think one of the things we learned from the last election is that there's a lot of people who live in rural America. And someone told me once, you wrote a play for people who grew up in rural America, and no plays are about rural Americans. Theater is kind of an urban art form, and so most plays are about urbanites and super well-educated people who think for a living rather than do for a living. Mm-hmm. And one of the interesting things about Almost Maine, it's about a bunch of people who are super smart, but they do things for a living.
Mm.
And it just seems to have resonated with a lot of America, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, have you seen any of the high school productions of it?
People think I'm rich because of it, so they'll always ask me to come to their kids' production. I've seen a few, and the very first one I saw was in Maine, and I was stunned that kids could do it. But you have to remember that, you know, kids get nominated for Tony Awards and Academy Awards, so kids are pretty awesome artists, and it suits kids pretty well because the stories are pretty full of people who are not particularly jaded.
Mm-hmm.
And I think kids aren't quite jaded yet. They're still pretty hopeful, even though they've had some heartache in their lives. So they seem to get the plays pretty well because they're about people who are hopeful, who are experiencing or who have experienced some serious heartache. Mm. And I think when you're in high school, you know pain very well and you know hope very well.
So you're also an actor in addition to being a playwright. So which came first for you?
I'm an actor first.
Actor first.
The playwriting I do kind of on the side and for fun.
So how does your experience as an actor then influence your writing?
Actors know plays better than anybody. A lot of people don't want to admit that, but it's true. A lot of people don't think actors are very smart people, but actors are the only creators of theater who spend time inside text, inside the words, inside the play.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know when it's not working because we can feel the audience fall asleep. We can feel them start coughing when they're bored. We can feel them check out. We can feel when they're fully engaged. And that's what I love. I love to hear from actors. Where does it feel like they're leaving you? And they'll say, it's this scene. And
right.
It's usually towards the end. And it's when you're trying to do too much and you're running out of time to do it.
Now, you have acted in your own plays. Do you find yourself creating characters that you would like to portray on stage?
Well, that's how Almost Maine started. It started as a collection of short comedy sketches that NBC was looking at to develop into a television show. Back in the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s, NBC was looking for new works to replace Friends and Seinfeld and all their aging sitcoms, if that makes any sense. And so they started to create a place for comedians and writers to play. And I got to play at this place called Performance Space NBC, and they basically gave you a space for free, which in New York is very valuable.
That's for
and
sure.
And free technical support. And they also had people, powerful people, show up and see if the work was anything they wanted to develop. They would own the material for a certain amount of time after you presented. And NBC never moved on my stuff, but a director named Gabriel Barry brought it to the attention of the Cape Cod Theater Project and thought that the material that I had was something more than just sketches and could be a play, and that's kind of how it happened. And I was acting in all of those early incarnations of the play just because me and my friends were doing it for fun. And just because I also write, Almost Maine's a collection of love stories for people who aren't hot, and I wanted people to remember that people who aren't particularly hot fall in love, and in the movies it looks like all the people who fall in love and, you know, win are always like super hot.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure everybody knows that.
Again, I guess, again, a reason that it resonates with high schools across the country. So you're back.
Yeah, you can be anything you want to be in the play. You can be
sure.
Fat, you can be skinny, you can be black, you can be white, you can be anything at all. It doesn't matter. They're just people.
Yeah.
So.
Now you're back at the Cape Cod Theater Project this year with Cul-de-Sac. What can you tell us about the play?
It's the second play I wrote, and it had a showcase production in New York City in 2006, I believe, shortly after Almost Maine. And after the performance, after the production that we did, I never felt like it was quite finished, but I was busy and didn't really work on it too much. And years later, after Almost Maine got very, very popular, it's been over the past, 10 years, it's gotten really, really popular. Dramatists Play Service, the publisher, asked me if they could publish all of my plays, partly because people were asking, what else has this guy written? And they had no other title. And so I said I would be so happy to let them publish my other plays. I was very, very happy to let them do that. but I asked them if they would give me time to make the plays better and good, to see if I could actually make them good. And that's what I'm doing with Cul-de-Sac right now. I've been working on it for the past few years pretty intensely. And this is a chance for me to rip it apart one more time, put it back together, and make sure it's a good play.
Yeah. You have to have kind of a tough skin, too. I mean, because, people are they're wanting to help, but they're criticizing some of the stuff you're doing, right? So you have to be pretty open to that.
Yeah, but I've learned that if people have nothing to say about your play, that's when you're in trouble. And if people are ready to talk about it and criticize it, that means that it's interesting enough for them to say something about it. It means they care enough about it to actually have an opinion.
New York
Times. So I can handle it.
Yeah. The New York Times described your writing in Cul-de-Sac as staccato, a ping pong of rhythms. Do you agree with that?
Sure. I mean, I think that's part of it. I think it is. It's pretty rapid fire, but I think it's just, I think they're just people dealing with a very unusual situation and not even knowing they're in it.
Mm-hmm. So was this a style you were kind of going for, you wanted to try, or, what were you hoping to convey here?
Well, when I'm from Northern Maine, where people move more slowly and talk more slowly and think more slowly. And when I went to college, I noticed I was really surprised by how fast everybody was. I went to college in Massachusetts and just really surprised by how fast everybody was. There were a lot of New Yorkers in my college, and that started to really interest me because I think I was inherently I spoke pretty fast, and my mom speaks pretty fast, and I remember just being interested in how some people can communicate at a rapid-fire pace, and I guess I was inspired by that.
Yeah. For those who haven't been behind the scenes in theater, talk a little bit about how a director shapes a production.
Well, I'm working with Moritz von Stuppnagel, who is directed Hand to God, which was a big hit on Broadway a couple of seasons ago. He's already been really, really awesome as far as just saying, what do we want to do with this play? And I said, I want to make it better. I want the end to be awesome. I want it to be an ending that kills people, that rips their hearts out a little bit. And I want to earn it, and I don't want people to roll their eyes and say, that's all this was. And so that's kind of, he's helping me figure out how to make the audience love these people, even though they do some things that are not lovable.
Mm.
So he'll help with that. That's what I'm hoping he'll help me do.
Yeah. As a playwright, is it interesting to see how different directors interpret your work?
I'm a writer of pretty well-made plays in the tradition of like Lillian Hellman. Not that I'm as good as these people that I'm listing, but this is what they did, Henrik Ibsen. I'm really attracted to plays that anybody can read and do, and the story will come through. I would say The Glass Menagerie is a big influence on me because I saw it at my community theater when I was growing up, and I just loved it. And those weren't professional actors. Those were people from my small town in northern Maine who just did the play, and they did a beautiful job, and the story killed me.
Yeah.
And I was interested in telling stories like that for the theater, plays that people, anybody can do, and the story will come through.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's not a theater piece that's specific to a bunch of artists who might only live in New York City, for example.
Yeah, that's an interesting point you bring up, because it's true. When something is written strongly like that, it really doesn't matter who the actors are, because the story carries itself.
Yeah, and I'm not sure critics respect that, the well-made play right now.
Yeah.
So, because if it's really well-made, you don't notice that it's a well-made play.
Right, it seems easy, right? Yeah, it just seems
Yeah, and I just saw the Lillian Hellman play on Broadway, The Little Foxes, and it's a very well-made play. And it just took the audience's breath away. You could feel it. We were all like, you know, and that's the best feeling in the world.
Yeah. So what are your favorite roles as an actor?
That I've played or that I want to play?
Either.
Well, I did a show called Something Rotten on Broadway last year, in 2015-16, and I got to play a character named Nigel Bottom, who was part of the Bottom Brothers, and the premise is that we're a couple of Elizabethan playwrights who are stuck under the shadow of William Shakespeare, who was played by Christian Borle. And William Shakespeare was portrayed as a rock star. And I got to play the guy who was quietly writing Hamlet, and the story goes that he kind of steals my pages and writes Hamlet. So that was super fun. I just played Howard in Picnic, the William Inge play at Transport Group here in town. Mm-hmm. And that was a fantastic role. One of my favorite things I've ever done. I played a forensic technician on Law and Order for about 5 years, and his name was Julian Beck, and that was super fun.
Yeah, that sounds. And I was going to ask you about that. The difference between, because there's definitely a difference between theater and TV and movies, and the style. Everything is a little bit different. Do you prefer one over the other? I mean, you obviously seem to do a lot more stage work than you do TV and films. But what's the differences and do you like doing both, or you prefer one over the other?
I think doing a play or a musical is an athletic event, and doing a movie or a TV show isn't.
Mm.
That's the biggest difference. I think both media, each medium should make people feel the same. So I think it's about finding truth. I don't like it when people say that stage actors are different because they're too broad, because that means they're bad to me.
Mm.
It shouldn't feel like that. Okay. It should feel... It requires a broader palette, because mm-hmm. you have to reach a larger space.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of focus. I mean, when you're doing a movie, you're doing something for a camera, and it's intimate. And when you're doing something on a stage, you're doing it for 1,000 people or 2,000 people or 100 people. And you just have to adjust accordingly. It's all about adjusting depending on the size of the receiver. You know what I mean? The size of the space that's receiving you.
John Cariani's Cul-de-Sac will be at the Cape Cod Theater Project in Falmouth July 6th, 7th, and 8th. We'll have more information at our website, capeandislands.org. John, thanks so much for taking time to talk with us, and look forward to seeing you here in Falmouth.
Thank you.